this is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live, this first day of May 2024, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. Do I have some stories for you? The deep state, according to this report, has officially shifted its support to Donald Trump. Here's the story. Coming from VT, where I was a journalist and editor for 10 years, the deep state has shifted its support to Trump President Richard C. Cook. Mark my words. The deep state has shifted its support to Trump President Biden is being thrown under the bus. 4 years of stumbling senility, collapse of U.S. foreign policy in Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Gaza, borderline graft, and the display of woke perversions enough to make any real adult vomit. These have brought enough humiliation to America to last a century. William Barr is the deepest of the deep state, the ultimate covert operator. Check out his resume on Wikipedia, for example. It was Barr, recall, who delivered the message to Bill Clinton that he was in line for the presidency at a covert meeting in Mena, Arkansas, back in the heyday of CIA drug and arms trafficking. Barr just endorsed Trump for president after being part of the cabal that set Trump up on January 6th and got him indicted in New York, in Washington, and in Georgia. Trump is beating the rap on everything thrown at him. Now the Supreme Court has been green-lighted to overturn the indictments. Meanwhile, George Soros and son, longtime deep state action officer in the regime change department, is doing what he has done in color revolutions around the world by doing the same to Biden via the phony pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Exactly the same as BLM and Antifa, except sides have switched. Biden and the Dems are now permanently tarred as anti-Israel, allowing the alt-right, Breitbart, others, and Trump himself to pose as pro-Israel all the way. So the Jewish donors are also flipping to Trump. Anyway, Biden won't be running. The word is he'll be switched out for Gretchen Whitmer at the DNC in Chicago. Whitmer will then pretend to be running in Biden's place and will gracefully accept a defeat. So Trump will be president. Fascinating story. Meanwhile, Winter Watch reports, foreshadowing an Illuminati New World Order card game. There's all kinds of stuff here. Russ Winter is quite a brilliant guy. Perry reports in 1982, Steve Jackson Games created an Illuminati card game inspired by the 1975 book, The Illuminatus Trilogy, by Robert Anton Wilson and Robert Shea. The game has ominous secret societies competing with one another to control the world through various means, including legal, illegal, and even mystical. Six Illuminati groups within the game: the Bavarian Illuminati, the Discordian Society, the UFOs, the Servants of Chatula, the Bermuda Triangle, and Gnomes of Zurich. The game was allegedly designed to be tongue-in-cheek satire. In reality, it's quite the trip in terms of coiddly-dinks and unusual predictive program. At a minimum, it has a unique ability to foreshadow events. Here are some. Facebook, Apple, YouTube, and Spotify ban InfoWars Alex Jones. Massive censorship. One of the malevolent groups in the card game is called Evil Geniuses for a Better Tomorrow. It was produced back in 1995, shows a ringer for Bill, Mark of the Geek Gates, and Who Mucky Muck, and Stooge, Tedros, Adhanom, who's of course the head of the World Health Organization. The CDC is featured as a conspiratorial actor, as are the concepts of emergency power quarantines and martial law. Another shows a terrorist attack on the World Trade Twin Towers. It was created well before 9/11 and at nearly the same location where the building was supposedly hit or rigged, exactly that far down on their facade. an attack on the Pentagon is another ominous card. There's another called Enough is Enough, many think resemble Donald Trump and forebodes his fate. Wouldn't you believe there's a population reduction play card in there too? Nothing to see here, just move along. But we have another report. This is from a former CIA insider. This is quite stunning, so I'm going to play a fair amount of it. Listen
up. The fix is in. On November 16, 2023, bumbling Joe Biden tipped his hand, accidentally revealing the Democrats' plan to rig the upcoming presidential election. You're about to be one of the few people who has seen the plot to swap out Biden with a shadow candidate hand-selected to beat Trump. You'll see how this dangerous scheme will trigger a social and financial meltdown from shore to shore. Then, as the election aftermath plays out, you'll see how to beat them at their own game by not just protecting your hard-won retirement savings in the turmoil to come, but using the little-known chaos rally strategy to substantially help grow your own personal wealth, even while other Americans suffer from the Dems' treachery. Hi, my name is Jim Rickards. I'm a former advisor to the White House, Congress, the CIA, the Pentagon, and the Department of Defense. I'm also an attorney, investment banker, and author of 7 books on global finance and economic policy. Places like Fox, CNBC, or Bloomberg call me when they want to know what's about to shake up the global economy. I hold master's degrees in international economics and taxation. I've been in the private West Wing of the White House. I helped end the Iranian hostage crisis for the Reagan administration. The Nixon administration brought me in to help craft the petrodollar accord with Saudi Arabia. I've attended strategic sessions in the vaults, the secure meeting rooms inside the Pentagon. Here's a photo of me there. This is all I'm allowed to show you of the inside. I even hosted the first ever financial war games for the Pentagon. I've been inside the CIA director's secure conference room on the 7th floor of Langley headquarters. When it comes to the slimy underbelly of our government, I know all the players and I know the game. That's why, despite 99% of polls saying the exact opposite, I stood outside Trump Tower a few days before the 2016 elections and predicted Donald Trump would be our next president. I was right then. And when you review the evidence I have for you today, you'll see I'm right again. But make no mistake, I'm no politician and I don't work for the media. I don't need anyone's money. So I can't be bought and sold like all the talking heads out there. That means I am free to expose what others won't. And if it means I'm taking some personal risk, so be it. Because just like you, I'm a proud American patriot. And the unsettling predictions you'll see here today are based on my independent research and my personal contacts in the intelligence community. So let's get started. Right now, while we speak, the Democrats are rigging the 2024 presidential election, attempting to guarantee a victory for their anti-American policies. And I'm going to show you exactly how they're doing it. Not only that, you'll see how to turn the tables on the Dems by using the little-known chaos rally wealth-building strategy to profit from the carnage they'll bring. I know this is a lot to take in, so let me show you what I now see coming. Joe Biden is a decoy. He will not face Trump in the 2024 election. As part of a carefully orchestrated scheme I call Operation Stalking Horse, on June 13th, Joe Biden will hold a surprise press conference. Once he's on the air, Biden will announce he's withdrawing from the 2024 presidential election. 2 months later, at the Democratic National Committee convention in Chicago, a shadow candidate hand-selected by the Democrats to defeat Trump will be crowned. They already have him picked out. You see, the Dems know one thing for sure. In a head-to-head matchup with Trump, Biden will get crushed. Calamity Joe is incredibly unpopular, even with his own base, who see his mental faculties are declining daily. He is confused and bumbling, needing assistance to even find his way off a campaign stage. Biden was never fit to be president. But now, in this state, he's a danger to our country and the entire world. Even Democrats know it. Despite Biden being an incumbent running for re-election, about half of Democrats want a different candidate. That's unheard of in modern politics. But here's my concern. Once you get Biden out of the way, a different Democratic candidate can defeat Trump. That's something Trump supporters, and I'm one of us, don't want to hear. But it's true. The left's undemocratic attacks on Trump are a disgrace. The indictments, the campaign obstruction, they've done everything they can to stop Trump winning again. Unfortunately, it's starting to work. An NBC News poll found Trump would beat Biden in a head-to-head matchup. No surprise there. At this point, no one thinks a senile Biden should hold the nuclear codes. But when they asked people about a different unnamed Democrat running against Trump, the entire thing flipped on its head. According to the poll, in a hypothetical matchup of Trump against a non-Biden Democrat, people choose the generic Democrat by 6 points. This new Dem would get 46% of the vote compared to only 40% for Trump. That's a huge margin in a presidential election and more than enough for a Dem victory. Folks, this could really happen. I believe when Biden drops out on June 13th, when the new shadow candidate who won't have entered or won a single primary is crowned at the Democratic convention in Chicago on August 19th, and when Trump faces this imposter in a rigged election, it will create a national crisis like we haven't seen in more than 50 years. Our country could endure an economic meltdown and rampant unrest, chaos, and violence. There's more. I think bumbling Biden accidentally revealed his own replacement. You'll see who it is in a moment. But first, let me show you exactly how I believe this will play out. There's a group of Democrat power brokers who operate behind the scenes. I'm talking about people like Don Brazile, Mark Elias, Dick Durbin, Nancy Pelosi, and a few others. You could call them the Democrat swamp. Of course, the Dem power brokers are well-versed in dirty election politics. After all, they've done it before. In 2016, Bernie Sanders was riding high. He was winning primaries. He could well have been the Democratic candidate and could even have won the election. But the Dem swamp had their preferred candidate, crooked Hillary Clinton. They pushed Bernie out into the cold and crowned Hillary as their candidate, ignoring their own voters. They were busted red-handed after WikiLeaks released 20,000 emails showing they'd conspired against Bernie in favor of crooked Hillary. Their plot didn't work out too well for them in 2016, but that won't stop them from trying again. Funny, they call themselves the Democrats, when there's nothing democratic about a party that ignores its own voters and rigs the nomination process. I believe their latest plan, Operation Stalking Horse, is already in place. Here's how I see it working. Biden will stay in the race through the primaries. He's already sewn up the Democratic nomination, but that won't matter. You see, Operation Stalking Horse through, he'll need to collect as many delegates as possible. That way, his co-conspirators will have maximum leverage at the Democratic convention in Chicago. If Biden drops out too early, there will be a mad scramble for delegates in the remaining primaries. The Democrat swamp doesn't want that. They want to rig the process on their terms. The last presidential primary is June 4th. At that point, Biden will have almost all the delegates. I predict he'll wait a week or two. Then on June 13th, he'll call a news conference. To the surprise of everyone except you and me, Biden will announce he's dropping out of the race. He might give a medical excuse, which will be easy for people to believe. After all, he's failing physically and mentally in front of our eyes. Or he could say he's doing it for the good of the country. Whatever bogus excuse Biden goes with, he'll drop out of the race in June. Now, he won't resign the presidency at that point. Not yet. I'll explain more in a moment. Biden will announce he's going to finish out his term, but he will no longer seek re-election. Why June 13th? Because the Democratic National Convention is August 19th. The Democrats' presidential nominee will be officially announced there. The June 13th withdrawal would give the Credentials Committee, convention organizers, and political fixers enough time to make it a peaceful coronation of the selected replacement. When he makes his announcement on June 13th, Biden will release all the delegates he won in the primaries. He's allowed to do that under law. At the same time, he'll endorse his replacement shadow candidate, who I'll reveal in a moment. The Democrat elite superdelegates will already be on board with the plan. It will be a clean handoff. The Dems already have the template because they've done it before. In 1968, Lyndon B. Johnson was an unpopular Democratic president. Then on Sunday, March 31st, 1968, Americans' primetime programming was interrupted with a message from the president. In a shock to everyone, President Johnson announced he was dropping out of the race. Instead, at the Democratic convention, replacement candidate Hubert Humphrey was handed the Democratic nomination despite having not competed in or won a single primary. This is exactly what I'm talking about happening again, and I'm not alone in my prediction. Former Obama's senior advisor David Axelrod has publicly encouraged Biden to withdraw from the race. Political activist billionaire Bill Ackman also publicly pushed Biden to drop out. Independent presidential candidate Cornel West recently announced, "I'm not even sure whether I'll be running against Biden. I think he's going to have an LBJ moment and pull back." In January, J.P. Morgan Asset Management strategist Michael Zambales predicted Biden would withdraw. Sometime between Super Tuesday and the November election, citing health reasons, according to Zambales, Biden will then be replaced by a candidate named by the Democratic National Committee. Friend, I believe right now, as you're reading this, the Operation Stalking Horse plot is picking up steam. The Democrat swamp already has their Biden replacement. I've heard Michelle Obama's name thrown about, and believe it or not, even the criminal Hunter Biden. But neither of them are likely. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, were Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois are possible suspects in my mind. But I think the Democrat swamp already has its candidate. After all, he's been hiding in plain sight, running a shadow presidential campaign for the past 12 months. I'm talking about California Governor Gavin Newsom. Newsom is slick and he looks the part. But this guy's an idiot. I think he's even dumber than Biden. And he's more dangerous than Biden because he's easily manipulated. But the left loves him. And he's been running a shadow campaign for months. At the end of last year, Newsom debated Ron DeSantis. 5 million people watched it on TV. Next thing you know, Newsom is meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. He's traveling to China. He's traveling to Israel. Does this sound like someone who isn't running for president? If you ask me, Biden's been setting the stage for dropping out since late last year, when his abysmal polling numbers showed Trump will destroy him. On November 16th, Biden even tipped his hand, praising Newsom and saying he could have the presidency. Then on December 5th, less than 1 week after Newsom's coming out party debate with DeSantis, Biden announced he didn't necessarily want to be president again, saying he wouldn't even be running if it weren't for Trump. The next day, Biden took it up a notch, saying there were other Democrats out there who could beat Trump. But why is Biden so willing to step down? Well, besides avoiding the embarrassment of a bad defeat to Trump, there's one final little piece of the plot. You see, I believe the Biden crime family have engaged in numerous criminal acts, and Biden himself will be in grave danger of prosecution after he leaves office. I think part of this deal with the Democrat swamp is to escape justice for his crimes. So here's what I'm predicting. After Biden withdraws from the race, he'll continue to serve through the election. Then after the election, but before his term is up, he'll resign from the presidency. And Kamala Harris will step in. I think she'll agree to this plot so she can go down in history as the first ever female president, even if it's only for a month or so. Then, as soon as she's president, Kamala will pardon Calamity Joe for his crimes, and probably Hunter too. The Biden crime family will get away scot-free with their crimes. The Dems have no shame. This is the kind of stuff you expect to see in third world banana republics. Criminal leaders making backroom deals for pardons, a candidate who skipped over the Democratic nomination process, and who's as unqualified and dangerous as anyone who's ever held a position. Want to see what I believe the Newsom administration would mean for our country? I'm talking about the Californication of America. It took Newsom just a couple years to destroy a great state like California. And if he does the same thing to America, we can expect lawless homeless encampments turning cities into no-go zones, streets littered with garbage and human feces, stores permanently shuttered by shoplifting gangs, mandatory electric vehicles, trillions of dollars wasted on useless windmills and solar module farms, gas stoves banned, more mandatory masks, more mandatory vaccines, diversity initiatives meaning more incompetent academics, pilots, engineers, doctors, equipment operators, air traffic controllers, etc. Illegal aliens handed work permits, photo IDs, free health care, fast-track naturalization, and voting rights. The Supreme Court packed with more dopes like Ketanji Brown Jackson. Puerto Rico and D.C. made into states to get four more Dem senators. Repealing the Electoral College. The list goes on. And it only gets worse. If Newsom is president, there will be nothing left of constitutional rule of law, real democracy, or our Republican form of government. Our enemies will have a field day, taking advantage of Newsom's weakness, consolidating their power against our nation, while we retreat further and further from our former glory. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Domestically, I believe our market economy will be done. Socialism with a fascist face will be our new economic reality. And our economy is perfect.
Tehi Boti Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from?
Well, it's probably dawned on you that forgiving all these student loans is a way of trying to buy the student vote. Here's another effort they're making. Pretty blatant, pretty obvious. U.S. posed these restrictions on marijuana in historic shift, but it'll remain a controlled substance. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will move to reclassify marijuana is a less dangerous drug, the AP has learned. An historic shift to generations of American drug policy that could have wide ripple effects across the country. A proposal, which must still be reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget, would recognize the medical use of cannabis and acknowledge it has less potential for abuse in some of the nation's most dangerous drugs, cocaine, opium, fentanyl. However, it would not legalize marijuana outright for recreational use. I don't know why not. They ought to do that. Meanwhile, of all the stupidities, and honestly, when I first read this, I thought I was looking at a Babylon Bee. Get this. Supreme Leader Joe Biden sues company for failing to provide him with more support for photo op. The Biden regime just showed their true color, proving that beyond a doubt, they are the authoritarians we think they are by suing a company that refused them, helped them trick the American people. The fight between Biden and the private company Schitt's Incorporated occurred after Joe paid a visit to one of their Pennsylvania gas stations. After Trump had been seen at several establishments, surrounded by hordes of supporters chanting his name, Biden attempt to recreate that scene to prove he can pull the same lever of support except he can't. The man who got the most votes in history in 2020 pulled up to the Pittsburgh Sheets gas station, where he was greeted by total silence. Footage from the appearance captured Biden walking in, his two children and their mother sat idly by. Watched the old man wander through the store, like watching to see if he would trip and fall. In that footage, you could hear the in-store music playing pretty clearly, revealing just how dead silent it was in there. No cheers, no chants, none of his name. What was supposed to be a positive PR move for the Biden regime backfired big time and really made it clear just how unpopular this president really is. How bad is that? Meanwhile, Biden campaign panics over RFK victory. This development could end Joe's career for good. Democrats have called the independent candidacy of RFK Jr. a spoiler, meaning he'll take enough votes away from the top two candidates, he might help one of them win. But it looks like RFK has a better shot of winning than Biden thinks. Kennedy explains he only needs 33% of the vote to win in a three-way race. And he claimed in some states he's already close to that number. While some say he's a threat to the conservative Trump, it appears that Biden is more scared of him. Recent polling has shaken up the Biden camp. And how Kennedy is doing among these groups could mean the end of Biden's presidency, from Fox. One former Bernie Sanders pollster, Ben Cholson, recently sounded the alarm over RFK Jr. pulling so much young support from Biden. Last week, he told the New York Times he was worried about Biden's chance of winning because of Kennedy's appeal to the demographic as well as to Latino voters. Young voters and Latinos respond really well to a hard-edged economic populist message, and that is not Biden's. They're dissatisfied about the political and economic status quo. And I see in that mindset the potential opening to support a third-party candidate. According to a former Bernie Sanders pollster, thus, Kennedy is enjoying increasing popularity among young voters and Latinos, thanks to his many failures with the economy. Voters from these groups are flocking to RFK's hard-edged economic message. And we know, of course, that he's going to pull more votes from Biden than he is from Trump in any case. Meanwhile, a union leader, after meeting with Trump, reports that Democrats are pushing everybody to the other side. As the head of the Steamfitters Local 638, this is Bobby Bartel, said his fellow working class blue-collar union members are leaning heavily toward Trump in the presidential election. Traditionally, union members have been more heavily for Democrats. This time, Trump's stand on issues like immigration, crime, and taxes are primary motivators. Bartels had a few words after the meeting, telling Newsmax Anderson Smith he feels like over the past 4 years, the Democrat Party has basically pushed everybody to the other side. A poll of his 9,000 members, Trump is beating Biden 3-1.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EazeOff EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Reports sometimes suggesting that Biden would not be on the ticket. That would be Gavin Newsom with Michelle Obama as his running mate. I think that looked pretty good at this point in time. Meanwhile, another one bites the dust. Insiders say Trump VP candidate now has no shot, and that's ironic. We're talking about Kristi Noem, no shot, because he shot her puppy after it had killed some chickens and wrote about it, which I think politically was a great mistake. She probably thought she was being very candid and there'd be emotion, sympathy for her for having killed her dog, but it's worked the other way around. Meanwhile, Political Insider reports Trump hails great meeting with Ron DeSantis, saying they'll work together to make America great again. This is very damn interesting, because we have another story. After Trump makes a surprise visit, one GOP leader rockets up the VP list. Trump may have to rely on his allies to continue reaching voters if he hopes to bend his nomination, because he's tied up in the criminal trial in New York. However, he has been meeting with top GOP figures. Chances are he's coordinating with his heavy hitters to secure his and the party's victory. He was just in Florida, meeting with a major leader. One name is now starting to stand out from the post-millennial. GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump met with his one-time opponent, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, on Sunday with the hope the two could mend their relationship. I think it's going to happen. It's pretty easy to mend that relationship. And let me say, if he's anticipating Gavin Newsom being his opponent, the debate between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom was a catastrophe for Newsom. He was inadequate, incompetent, flopped around. DeSantis did a great job, and that debate drew about 5 million. Now, of course, for them both to run together, Trump would have to have his residency not in Florida, because the Constitution precludes having both a president and vice president from the same state. But perhaps that could be easily adjusted. I do not know whether, in fact, Trump has ever moved his formal residency from New York to Florida. But if that's the case, I mean, New York and Florida is such a powerful combination in terms of electoral votes, it could make a difference, even though, of course, historically, New York has long been deep blue. Meanwhile, further good news, Republican voter registrations are dominating in Arizona. A lot of funny business goes on down there. It's looking more and more that it will be impossible for Democrats to steal Arizona's electoral votes in 2024. So long as Republican voters don't fall for the same shenanigans pulled in the 2022 midterms. The Secretary of State's office released the latest voter registration figures. It's a brutal tale for the Democrats. Registered Republicans now outnumber Democrats by 236,000 voters. Keep in mind, the 2020 election was stolen by 10,457. The 2022 gubernatorial stolen from Kerry Lake by only 17,117. Looking good in Arizona. Meanwhile, Justice Alito questions whether prosecuting presidents would undermine the government. I think this is a very good question. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito questioned whether prosecuting former presidents may undermine the country's government during a hearing on President Trump's presidential immunity case. Trump lawyers have argued that former presidents are entitled to absolute immunity for their official acts. I emphasize, for their official acts. I believe that's correct. I believe they should have absolute immunity for their official acts. Otherwise, they say, politically motivated prosecutions of former occupants of the Oval Office would become routine, and presidents couldn't function as a commander-in-chief if they had to worry about the prospect of being prosecuted for criminal acts. I'm sure you would agree with me that a stable Democrat society requires a candidate who loses an election, even a close one, or a hotly contested, leave office peacefully if that candidate were the incumbent. So he asked, he asked Michael Dribben, an attorney for special counsel Jack Smith's team. Of course, Mr. Dribben replied. The Bush-appointed justice that went on to ask, if an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to off to a peaceful retirement, but he may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizing the function of our country as a democracy? I think he's got it exactly right. Now, of course, those must be official acts. It would not cover anything done outside, but I think it's going to happen that way. I think that's a tell. Here's another. Supreme Court signals that may throw out 1,000 January 6th convictions. The Supreme Court sent shockwaves through the corrupt Biden Department of Justice, announcing it wants a DOJ to respond to a petition from a January 6th sightseer received a one-year prison sentence for peacefully walking in and out of the Capitol of the United States. Russell Alford was given a one-year sentence for disorderly conduct and disruptive behavior in the Capitol, even though he never hurt anyone, never damaged anything. He walked in and out like the rest of the tourists that day. After agreeing to hear Alford's petition, the Supreme Court has signaled it could very well vacate the sentences of more than 1,000 January 6th political prisoners. That is devoutly to be wished. Meanwhile, turns out the Navy is converting oil rigs to counter China with its $95 billion aid package. In light of the recent spending package for foreign aid, the U.S. Navy has decided to implement a new strategy to counter China Pacific, as reported by the Defense Post. The spending package includes $8.1 billion designated for Taiwan and countries in the Pacific, while the Navy plans to convert surplus oil rigs into mobile military bases. These bases will serve as resupply depots for vessels and may also act as missile defense systems. Fascinating idea. The project, known as the Mobile Defense Depot Platform, or MODEP, was developed by Navy architecture firm Gibbs & Cox. They've stated these bases can carry a substantially large amount of weaponry compared to a Navy destroyer. Actually, from a military point of view, I think that makes great sense. I don't like the idea of suggesting to China we're planning to go to war, but, you know, that's where it's at. We've already made those assertions. Meanwhile, responsible statescraft asked very appropriately, where is the U.S. military's $320 million pier project in Gaza? According to reports today, satellite images showing the massive U.S. project to build a pier and causeway to help surge humanitarian aid into Gaza has finally begun. Biden first announced a plan during State of the Union on March 4th. The problem is, it was supposed to be complete in early May, but joint logistics over the shore system is nowhere near to being in place. In fact, according to the AP, an American military engineering unit is currently training to build the 1,800-foot causeway, which is supposed to be anchored right off the Gaza beach with another Israeli military unit up the coast. They don't say how the unit is to accomplish this without boots on the ground, which was promised up and down and sideways by the Biden admin. You and I know they've already violated that. Here's a YouTube talking about this very point.
Hi there, this is Savannah Guthrie from the Today Show, and I am doing something I never thought.
Yeah, don't worry, Savannah. Daniel Davis.
As you may recall, back on the State of the Union address that President Biden gave earlier this year, he announced that the United States was going to send a floating pier. They were going to send the United States Navy to build a floating pier opposite Gaza to get food aid into the beleaguered people in there to relieve some of the starvation that was already starting back then, and the extreme hunger that was going on. And he was saying that was a great idea. It got a lot of thunderous applause to it. And one of the things he said at that time, and we're actually going to see this in a minute, no boots on the ground. So this is not going to put Americans at risk. This is just something we're doing to help the starving people because we care about the Palestinians. Because
bear in mind, Lloyd Austin has already said in response to congressional questioning that if they were fired upon, they would respond. If, in other words, American forces building up here were fired upon, they would respond. That's not only boots on the ground, that's American combat in Gaza. Meanwhile, kill the Jews, shouted by false flag hoaxer at campus protests. You do see Soros is in there, I think, paying fake protesters. Smears, however, must not deter students from acting against genocide, my opinion. The Electronic Intifada is reporting, and I agree. Meanwhile, Israel affirms all men in Rafah are considered to be terrorists. They want to wipe them all out. In other words, the protesters against genocide are 100% on the right side. Meanwhile, Colombia, and I find this very upsetting, threatens to expel students occupying building in pro-Palestine demonstration. Again, police riot against peaceful anti-genocide protesters. I mean, what is more reasonable than to protest against genocide? But the police are hammering them. Here we have from the gray zone.
You're seeing this constant theme of older women being brutalized by giant roided up cops. This is just one of many examples. It's Washington University in St. Louis. Very wealthy school with lots of Zionist donors. That's who those cops are acting on behalf of. They're beating a woman who looks to be like 75, 80 years old. We saw a presidential candidate get roughed up, arrested for simply being present at one of these protests. Jill Stein, the only candidate I know of who's on the ballot in lots of states who opposes genocide. That's Jill Stein being walked away after she attempted to lead a negotiation between the cops and the students. She was then subsequently charged with assaulting an officer. She's a ferocious presence.
Wow.
Where's the woman, as Sina Tusi,
this is just embarrassingly bad and shakes confidence, which has already been badly shaken in law enforcement. This is so outrageous. Meanwhile, Bibi, of course, lashes out against American student protesters, says it's Nazism. Put piece about it in, guess where? UNZ.com. Prime Minister Netanyahu. What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading university, call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty, none of which is true. They're most certainly not calling for the abolition of Israel. They don't even know who are the Jewish students. They're not attacking them. It's all completely ridiculous and fabricated. Now, here's an interesting piece. Leaked U.S. memo says Israel may be violating international law in blocking Gaza aid. We might all agree with that, say it's obvious, but the fact is it appears in the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post. Very mainstream, very liberal. I like that it appeared there. Meanwhile, the U.S. is implicated as Israel, Israeli impunity nears its end. In other words, its mask of invulnerability or somehow having a privileged position among nations is shot, tattered, and torn. Israel's decades of impunity are over. So its leaders fear it or leaking reports to the media. War crime arrest warrants are imminent in an effort to get their allies to thwart them. Well, they're not going to be able to thwart them. Just in, Trump was found in contempt of court, and the judge sacked him with a $9,000 fine. But he's also relented and allowed Trump permission to attend his son Barron's high school graduation. That was such a vicious thing to do by the judge. I think he was called out about it, probably by other judges. Meanwhile, we have three final stories. Jerry Seinfeld has just demolished woke Hollywood, blaming them too for a depressing event. Here's what we're getting from Seinfeld, who, of course, has been enormously popular in the past. Jerry Seinfeld is among the most successful and beloved entertainers, his work watched by numerous generations, created the most popular sitcom of all time, continues to pack theaters for his stand-up comedy. He's been looking at what's been going on in the entertainment world of late, and he's not happy about it. The renowned comedian recently spoke about the state of American comedy and television. He claims Americans need comedy to help relieve their stress, yet it's nowhere to be found on TV, and this is why. The extreme left has ruined comedy. It used to be that you go home at the end of the day, people would say, oh, Cheers is on, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, All in the Family. You just expect to be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? Where is it today? The result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Seinfeld blasted progressivism for killing comedy. the extreme left in D.C. had deprived audiences of quality comedy, and he got it right.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
John Moore, the Liberty Man, on RBN from 7 to 10 with highly qualified guests. Monday through Friday, we talk about a range of topics. Day to day, helping you find your way through the chaos in store. John Moore, the Liberty Man. His website is second to none. Visit thelibertyman.com. Remember John Moore. From 7 to 10 and tune in, John Moore, the Liberty Man.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Two final stories for today. Justin Bieber exposes a list of celebrities grooming him when he was young. This sort of thing, of course, is pretty disturbing stuff. I guess today is Celebrity Day. Not that I'm a big fan of celebrities, but I am fascinated with the stories we have today. Let's talk Biebs, Justin Bieber. Honestly, I've always liked Justin Bieber. Always got a good vibe from him. Always felt a little sorry for him, but I had no idea how bad it was. Warning, this may be disturbing for many readers, but I have to show it. Start here. Justin Bieber exposed a list of celebrities grooming him when young. Here it is.
Hard for me being that young and being in the streets.
Wow! I feel violated right now. Thank you. I'm 16. I'll be 17 in like 2 weeks.
You want to say it again? You have beautiful lips.
Oh, thank you, man.
That's like, well, you have good lips.
There's almost no way you haven't heard about the depravities that go on in the entertainment industry. And while that on its own is already pretty bad, Justin Bieber's story takes it up a notch. See, while we were all focused on the glamour that came with being a star at a young age, Justin had been dealing with some pretty dark things. But now it seems the singer has come full circle and is out exposing everyone that might have inappropriately groomed him. And let's just say it's not looking too pretty for some of the big names in the industry. Believe me, this is one of those stories you don't want to miss.
Who apparently wanted to know what a Bieber butt felt like.
There are only a handful of people that have tasted the success Justin Bieber had during the early days of his career. And although it is more than a little impressive, the singer also had to go through a lot of things. Bad things, for starters, besides the fact that his naivety made several people take advantage of him. It's also come up that Bieber might have also been sexually groomed by older people in the industry. See, Justin was 12 when he was discovered by talent agent Scooter Braun, who guided him to astronomical child star success. However, as the singer grew over the years, he happened to find himself in more than a few less than ideal situations where older people were seemingly taking advantage of him. What's worse is that all of this happened during the singer's teenage years.
Well, there you go. You can learn more. Meanwhile, fear-mongering media unveils sinister source of U.S.-bound bird flu. I'm convinced they're going to use a bird flu to slaughter cattle, you know, by the herd, to cut down our ability to eat meat. This is part of the punishment of the United States and eventually the program to get us to eat bugs. Right back. Take off.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.